welcome to Mike's Cast with your host, Greg, Mike, and...
You're damn right.
Good buddy, Shaft. All right. We are on a roll with episode suggestions. This next episode suggestion or show topic came from a dude named Greg Cole. I think we might have read some of his stuff already. But he labeled this one the invisible...
Yeah, Cole is a good name.
He labeled this one the invisible turnstile. Disneyland quietly rolled out facial recognition at park entrances in December of 2025 and fully deployed it across both parks on April 28th, 2026. Guests were scanned for 4 months before Disney posted signs explaining an opt-out lane even existed. Disney says the data is deleted within 30 days and participation is voluntary, but when the opt-out lane is the hardest one to find and most guests had no idea they could refuse, how voluntary is it really? What is the actual end game here? Ticketing fraud prevention is the official answer, but guests deserve a more honest conversation about where their biometric data goes, who can access it, and whether a family theme park should be in the facial recognition business at all. So there you go.
Ooh. Person now, of interest.
I'd say, yeah, would you person say of interest. That this person has some issues with technology or this kind of technology? And that's not a slight at you, Greg, but this is not the first foray into biometrics that Disney's been using. And it's not the first time they took your picture and attached it to some kind of media. So
yeah, that's been going on for about 15 years now.
Longer than that. Okay, let's go into biometrics. Disney World's been doing the finger or the four fingers or five fingers.
Single finger.
I want to say somewhere one park had fingers. Yeah. I want to say it was the studio or Epcot. I don't know.
Okay, I remember. But
they may have got rid of that one back to the one finger, but that was biometric.
Yes, but you could say, I don't want to stick my finger in that, and they would use the alternate method of scanning your ticket. Because the idea of the biometric is you just put your finger, you don't have to pull out a ticket or your room key or any of those other things.
When I bought my annual pass in, I think when I left Disney, 98. And to say cheese, there was no way to get around having an annual pass without your picture on it and your name on it and other things that if was lost.
Okay, but that's just like an ID, right?
Sure. But what is different? This is just a digital ID. I'm playing a little devil's advocate here because I'm not so sure I'm 100% for it, but not sure I'm 100% against it.
But if you go back to the annual pass, they took your picture and your picture showed up as a little square on your thing. And they swiped it. Did it swipe or they just look at it and hit the button? When you handed your annual, I can't remember. But
if you lost it,
they charged you some money
to get a new one.
Would they take your picture again?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I never lost mine.
Neither did I.
They gave you the option if you wanted a new picture.
They stored your picture, right?
Yeah.
But your picture wasn't part of a technological process to let you gain entrance. Your picture was printed on a card that you had the option of, you showed it to them and they held it up and looked at it and looked at you and go, okay, come on in.
Yeah, let me ask you this one. Okay, I'm going to cross my fingers again to hold my thought. Richard says yes and no. What's the yes and no?
We did have it stored because at one point when you would scan it in, it showed it on the monitor.
Yes.
And it showed your picture that came on later. The monitor.
That came later.
Because there was the possibility someone could add their picture to the card. There was also, for a while, if you remember, when you used a regular paper ticket going through, they took your picture and added it to the ID so that when you use that again, paper ticket again, it would show your picture that day.
So this
has been something that's been in the works for years and years and years.
Go ahead.
Let me.
Okay, Greg.
For how long has Disney been taking your picture in front of the castle with you know, Tinkerbell, with, you know?
Yeah.
I know they become unavailable on the app, but are they sitting in a data center somewhere? Or does Disney truly flush them?
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't think it's worth their while to hang on to them. It costs money. Storage costs money. Cloud storage costs money.
It does, but when you own your own, and it's such a minor fraction.
I can guarantee you Disney pays AWS money to host all their shit.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Still, with all the other shit they're storing, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It's not the first time someone's walked into the park and had to worry whether or not their facial features have been recorded in the park.
Okay. When you stand in front of the castle, you are voluntarily getting your stuff done. This is referring to an involuntary picture.
Well, it's not involuntary. You're paying to go through the park. I bet you anything, if you look at your annual pass and you go through the long thing that no one ever reads, I bet you it's right in there.
We have signage
right there. It says you have an opt out.
You're going through.
It says there's an opt out.
We have signage right in the front of the park as you're going through either side, either tunnel going into Town Square, that says, "We may be filming today. Your image may be captured at any time, anywhere."
Yeah, that went from a sign that used to be taken down to,
it's permanently up. I'm talking about Prop 65 sign.
Sure, I'm talking about
cancer.
The what do they call it? Rules and conditions of your annual pass.
Terms and conditions.
Yeah, terms and conditions.
I bet you anything, if you've read it, which I'm guarantee you 99.9% of the people have never read it, you scan it down so you can click it, because some of them make you actually scroll through them
before you click accept. So talk about annual pass. I've been cleaning up, and I found the last annual pass I owned.
Back, I still put it in front of you.
There
you go.
Who's on the cover? Who's the picture?
Mickey. Now, here we go. There is no picture. And this is 2013. There is no picture.
But okay. I will bet you money there was a picture that was associated.
Came up on the screen. Because they scanned it, right? There's a barcode.
Yeah.
The barcode here, and then photo pass barcode there, free parking right there. But so when you
keep my passes in a different spot. Some of the older original ones, I'm pretty sure have your picture.
I remember the ones with pictures on them.
I was surprised when I bought my first Disney World one. It was like a paper ticket.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't laminated. It wasn't like this is what you guys call an annual pass. No picture, no lamination, no. I mean, it just looked like something it looked like a fast pass in a way, that kind of paper, like, you know, thermal printed.
So the point with the biometric question, right? So when you buy an annual pass, you don't have to buy an annual pass, right? That's an option. And terms and condition of having an annual pass, your picture has to be stored so we can verify it's you too. And how do you put ticket fraud prevention, right?
Yeah.
But ticket fraud prevention from a day visitor or a 3-day visitor?
Multi-day visitor, you would be amazed at how much fraud we get on that.
Which doesn't surprise me, right? How much is a 3-day ticket now? $300?
At least.
I mean, there's been some local deals for a much better deal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're local, and you give the ticket to someone to use, and then he comes out and you hand it to the next dude. Yeah.
I used to do that when I worked the Fox on the cover shifts, especially with the Chinese tour groups. Chinese tour groups out of Wuhan. No, I don't know where they were from. they were notorious for this. You could get much more than a 3-day. I think they had 7-day ones and They were just ripping their people off left and right.
So they would buy a 7-day ticket.
And they would charge each group full price.
This is how it started. This is how brazen they were at the beginning. The tour guide would stand on the other side of the turnstile and collect them.
A couple
of them got stopped saying, you can't do this. And we kind of went soft. And then they got smart. They'd walk. I followed a group from the turnstiles all the way into the pre-show of Circle Vision.
Yeah, and that's when they collected them?
And then they started to gather around. So I just kind of worked my way up there and put out my hand like I was going to get a ticket and flipped open my badge case and just took – he had got the last ticket, and I just took all the tickets out of his hand, told him he needed to come with me, and then they stopped selling these passes. I think 3-day became the biggest one, but some of the tour groups just weren't allowed to buy them.
We even had a couple groups that came in with 1-day passes. But what they did was they put a very small sheen of wax, because we used to stamp the date when the ticket was used. They put a very light sheen of wax on it. So when it was stamped, you could just scratch that off and reuse it the next day. And they would come doing these type of things.
The kids used to transfer the ink? Stamp.
Yeah.
But and then
the stamp, their hands.
It would
stamped.
Be backwards.
So then you have to put it onto a cigarette cellophane?
Yes.
Yep. And then roll it onto this, so reverse it, reverse it back. I know that trick.
And then one year, I followed a young lady. She had, I forgot what Disney was running, but they had this athletic thing where the cheerleaders would help out at some sporting event that Disney was putting on. And they gave them a silver pass for a year.
What?
As payment. So this one silver pass came up as being used quite a bit. So we kind of knew who we were looking for, followed her in. She signed whatever the max was in, collected some money, went right out the exit. And because she was a minor, I followed her all the way out. You know that midpoint of the parking lot where there's a big drive aisle? The first main part, and then the drive aisle. And I think there was like 20-minute waiting out there.
There's a drop-off zone. At the end of the red carpet, right? Yeah. Is it the end of the red carpet?
Followed her all the way out there till she opened the door and kind of made sure she couldn't shut the door, showed the badge, asked her for her pass. I'm thinking I told her this would be the last day you use this. What's wrong? I said, you can't collect it. You can't sell money. You can't take money. You can't sell these entrances. Oh, I don't know. They ever told me that. If they didn't, I'm telling you now. Thank you very much. See you later. We didn't even bother writing any more down that. We already knew who she was.
Was her picture associated with it?
No, but there was a name associated with it and a number, and it was scanned through the computer. So we knew.
So you would get warned that this silver pass was used.
The ticket people knew. Yeah, they actually, for what seemed like an unsophisticated time of paper tickets, they knew where those passes and the blue passes and the silver passes. Like Richard technically could sign in, at that time, every day. Wouldn't there be nothing wrong with that?
He still can. Assuming he gets a reservation.
He's got to be able to get the reservations.
Well, but I'm saying it's time, But there's a point where it would be considered abuse.
True.
We had one cast member that ended up, it showed his silver pass being used 60 times. But we were only in the second week of February.
Oh, my gosh.
So, there are indicators that they might be doing something more than just visiting the park or bringing their family to the park. And in those days, you were supposed to, for a long time, you were supposed to stay with the guests you signed.
It's still the same rule.
So unless it was family, but I would walk through the tunnel. Let's say I signed you and Mike. I'd walk through the tunnel, maybe
up to the hub,
spend a couple minutes, talking, and then I'd walk out. Family, no big deal. But friends, you were supposed to stick around with them all day. Because later on, if they said they got pulled into security, well, where's your ticket? I don't have one. I got signed in. So I was very careful who I signed in. Yeah. On the contrary to Knott's Berry Farm, when I worked there, I could sign in three people a day. I'd go on a Friday night sometime. Let's say Richard was with me. It's only one person. There was always some kids or somebody standing just around the corner of the little booth. We had our own little entry, you know, and they said, can I go in with you? I have to, you know, one time I said, you know, what the hell, you know, and I did. Hopefully they got, you know, well, I guess the kid never got in trouble because I never heard anything. I don't know if they tracked it as well. I don't think Knott's was quite that as good. But, okay, so back to the facial recognition of biometrics. I think right now there's just a heightened worry about biometrics and what's being done. I mean, the finger biometrics been done for a long time. What possibly could be done with your facial, you know, open your phone, get into a, if you got a phone, get into someone's accounts. I would an image, Mike, you're more on the tech side. If I had an image on my phone, could I scan another phone? Will it pick up what it needs?
It's supposedly
off of an image.
Okay,
let Richard or let the tech guy answer first. Richard.
From an Apple standpoint, you know, it's supposed to see a 3D, right? There's little LiDAR or some sort of infrared or something that scans. So if you show a picture of yourself, it's not supposed to work.
Okay.
And you know, there's a heat component, like you're alive.
What about the Android?
I know nothing about freaking Android. Let Richard tell you, because he's an Android user.
Okay, what were you going to say before I stepped on you, Richard?
No, I was just going to say the only difference from what we've done in the past to this is instead of just having the cast member look at the picture and compare notes on it, you're letting a computer look at the picture and compare notes on it.
And that is a problem because...
Well, for some people...
For some people, they do, but others, you know, I don't have a problem with it. It's no big deal. And I'm going to go with what Mike said earlier. Yeah, Disney gets rid of them after 30 days. You bet. But how many tens of thousands
no
of people
reason to hang
through?
On
we don't
to
want
it.
To keep that. Yeah, you hold it for 30 days
Skynet,
because...
Skynet looking at you, knowing you've been to Disney. Okay, what are people worried about? They're going to find out that, you know, it's going to get leaked and their boss is going to find out they spent the day at Disneyland
okay.
called sick. I mean,
there's other ways the bosses find out.
I don't know about a leak, Greg, but I think you're right in the kind of right ballpark is that, let's say your biometric data stored for 30 days. On day 28, because Disney's asleep at the switch, they get freaking cyber hacked and all your shit gets stolen that Disney's been holding on to, you know, and is now in the hands of nefarious criminals.
Okay, let me ask you this.
That's a reason to be worried about it.
Of us three people here, who has any measure of security on their digital devices?
I do.
What's your security? Mike.
My face.
Okay, just the scan of your face. That's it.
I like facial recognition. Fingerprint was kludgy. Didn't work all the time.
I never had the problem. The fingerprint always worked, but I like the facial. Richard, what's your...
I got fingerprint.
Okay, so no one has gone the extra mile to use anything like Guardio or Cloaked or any of these other add-on programs that...
Are you talking like VPN to mask your internet usage?
Well, that is an option in there. There's also a thing to, you know, like scrub your data off of the net, screen calls for spam and AI and all that stuff.
But let's take a look at it this way, though. Okay, day 28.
So that's a no from both of you guys.
What?
Right? Close? Neither one of you gone the extra step to protect your device beyond... Richard, do you use any kind of antivirus software?
Yes. McAfee.
Okay, you don't use any. Mike, what do you use?
I use Defender.
Okay.
It's built All in. Right. It's built in. On an Apple device, I don't feel like I need to have... I don't even think...
I agree with you. Apple, though, is vulnerable. The market share is much smaller.
I have no Apple computing other than my phone.
Oh, okay. It's just your phone. So your home computer, you use something?
Yeah, Defender.
Okay, Defender. You said it's built in. Is that a thing built into
Microsoft's antivirus tool.
Okay. All right. So you guys at least use something of that nature.
And way back in the day, I used to think called Kaspersky. Free. It was free antivirus from Russia. It was awesome.
Well, I got to admit, I use AVG, but I have paid some extra.
Oh, yeah. I use AVG for a while, too. Yes.
Yeah. But so I'm just wondering, because people are complaining about the security, and I'm guessing, again, a lot of these complainers aren't going the extra mile to protect their data in the first place.
Let me go two steps further on your hack idea of Disney gets hacked 28 days. So they get your facial recognition data. What other data are they going to get with it? How many times you've gone into the park in the last 30 days?
No.
Wait. What other data is that that they're going to get off of that?
So if you are a real power Disney user with your app, because all this is going to be also connected to the data in your app, I believe. Because you can't go anywhere.
Unless you forget your wrist strap there.
And in that app, you can store credit cards for purchases. Yep. You can, let's say you're going to have all of your address, your phone number.
Okay.
All the stuff that has been snagged from AAA, from Target, and every other data breach there's ever been, AT&T.
So let's take that data that you got on your app and everything. Disney is not going to flush that. Disney's going to hold on that in perpetuity because they're going to try to sell you stuff all the time. That has nothing to do with facial recognition.
How big, though, let's say, because you talk about it's flushing, it's taking too much data. I would guess that this little picture that they're taking is like kilobytes. I'm a megabyte or two.
I don't know enough of the technology to say whatever.
I can't imagine it being that, you know, heavy. I think the flushing is a response to, I don't want to say getting caught, but it's a response to the public not being very happy with the facial recognition. And quite honestly, when I first did it, I didn't look at it as facial recognition as much as I looked at it matching my face to the picture they took when I first, you know, the first time I went through the park with the new pass. They take your little picture there, and that this thing was just doing a doo-doo-doo. Okay, yeah, it's the same guy. That's all I looked at it as being. And with that, I don't know. This isn't part of Mike's tech world necessarily. I do know a guy that works security type stuff, but you know, to get to his point would sometimes be in getting the point with Richard when you ask him why the sky is blue, and you know, get 20 minutes of pre-show lecture by the time you get to the blue sky.
But what I'm getting at though is, if you're worried about facial recognition on entry pass into the park, then you're not the person that is going to have a Disneyland app that has on your credit cards. You're not the person that's going to have a Disneyland app that has any information.
That's
whatsoever.
Actually true, right?
You're not the person that's going to be carrying anything.
Are you so sure, though? Some people,
if you're paranoid about the facial recognition, you're going to be Gene Hackman in Enemy of the State, and you're going to have
wear a tinfoil hat.
What's his name? Yeah,
Will Smith.
I'm not so sure.
The house and everything else.
I'm not so sure about that, Richard. I think there's going to be a small portion, but there's going to be in this internet world of social media and virtual signaling and blah blah blah. You're going to have many that jump on the bandwagon and start clutching their pearls, going, "Oh my God, they're keeping my data." Grandma has no idea what they're going to do with her data, but grandson, 12-year-old grandson living in her basement has told her about it in his command center. No, nobody got that reference real quick. Die Hard and Command Center. It's your mom's basement. I think there's a mix here of pearl clutching for no particular reason, and some people who are serious about their data. But you know, quite honestly, don't go out in public then. Because exactly. Where aren't you being tracked or looked at?
Where aren't you being filmed? Some camera doesn't have you.
Well, we're not the United Kingdom. I've watched some interesting cop shows out of that. That place has more CCTVs than it does.
Oh yeah,
people. Citizens.
Yes,
because it's like
you are constantly under
surveillance. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that freak out about the red light cameras because their face might be picked up. Well, that's the whole point, dipshit.
Okay,
you know?
So many years ago, my wife got nailed on a red light camera. And you
was
could,
it her?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Was it her?
She knew, too. Yeah, okay. She came home and said, the camera took a picture of me. And when you get the evidence, you could clearly see the two kids in the back. No, you could clearly see her. You could see clearly all three people in the car. They blurred out the kids' faces.
That's funny.
In case it got leaked?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, children.
You know,
that's funny, though.
You know what's interesting about that? In California, as long as you cross the limit line on a yellow, you're safe. I was watching this thing called Live PD or something like this today before we came on. And a lot of traffic stops, a lot of dumb shit, you know. There's a guy at the CCW that didn't tell them and just had it loose in his pocket with one in the chamber. And she's like, you went through class. They taught you how to properly holster your weapon. And she goes, later she was trying to dance around. And, you know, it was loose in his pocket when she's talking to the camera. And it was pointing to his
private.
She's thinking, and then I think she might have said private, but, you know, she was dancing around of thinking, how do I best say this? which I found funny. And I would never carry like that. Mine's got, you know, grip safety and a trigger safety, but you never know. what I was going to say is the guy was telling him, you have to make it through the intersection before it turns red. That would suck in those states that are like that. But it's like when the red light cameras come on, people sometimes who might have passed through the light safely now jam on their brakes.
Yes.
Not wanting to get a ticket, which could cause an accident.
Other problems,
you know,
yes.
It's a two-way street. I'm not sure which is the best way to go. The same here. I mean, I think Disney's employing this because the fraud must be worse than we have ever imagined.
Or they're letting us know.
The fraud is pretty bad.
What do you think they're letting us know? If you don't think it's fraud.
No, I think it is. Know. But you're saying I was finishing your sentence that it's worse than we think. It's worse than they're letting out there. You know.
Because quite honestly, people can scan those cards, probably hack the data in the card, change it to whomever they want.
I think the issue that makes it weird is that apparently there's an opt-out option. You can opt out, but you have to jump through three or four hoops to opt out. And they make it hard. You know, I'm taking Greg Cole's word that, you know, they have an opt-out lane and it's hard to find and, you know,
you know, I haven't been to the park lately because I would go try this to just be curious or look for the sign. That's, you would think that over, let's say, aisle one, turns to aisle one, opt out, big sign.
Yeah, no biometrics used.
Yeah, something.
Criminals go through this gate.
What'd you say?
Criminals go through this gate. What would be funny is that's the line that goes out to Harbor Boulevard where the rest of us are just going through going, you know.
Yeah.
I just, you know, but maybe I'm being too lax. My brother-in-law, who is sometimes, you can't even talk about money. It's fiat. It's this.
Whatever.
He calls himself an anarchist. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Please, when you want to incite some anarchy, leave me out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. He says we don't understand our anarchy, right? And I'm like, hey, I'm gonna look up the definition. The
definition isn't that hard.
It's not that hard.
It's not exactly what I was thinking, because it sounds like what's the movie? The little kid running around like in his underwear yelling anarchy, anarchy.
I don't remember. It's a funny scene. I don't watch movies with little kids in their underwear.
You don't watch. it's
what kind of movies are you watching? Oh,
wait, was it that one? It might have been Overboard, where the little kid, Overboard. And it might have been because they were doing something. He's running around saying anarchy. It's a movie like that. It's totally innocent. It's nothing. Okay. But
Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn.
If you look up anarchist, it's not necessarily what you think. It's more like what Jefferson thought an agrarian society, how they would govern themselves, where they didn't need big government. They just took care of themselves. Everybody governed themselves. They don't need the big boy watching over them. It's not necessarily like Antifa, maybe, where they're burning down, you know, streets and shit like that. It's finite, but there's quite a bit of difference. Giant firework just went off. So anyways, moving back, it's like a military zone around here sometimes. I'm not sure of the fright. I wish Greg would have given us a little more insight of what he believes is wrong with it.
Well,
I mean, I'm a guy that uses two-factor authentication. I use passwords that are 20, you know, a string of 20 random characters I use a randomizer. I mean, there's no two passwords alike in my world, and even though two-factor authentication is a pain in the ass,
it's a giant pain in the ass.
It's secure, you know. And this is just a world.
If you use it the right way,
you know,
it's better than the alternative. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard usually to get that second factor, but sometimes when that second factor doesn't work, it gives you options to do something else, but still tied to your
big thing with the second factor is that it announces it to you and you look at it and it's like, I'm not doing that. Who's doing that right now?
Well, see, and that's good because it has you
exactly
a chance to go check it out. But anyway, so that's my biggest question to Greg is, and maybe he can follow up and give us an answer after we totally butcher the subject, is what is the downside, and if it's just that they could get hacked,
have a
picture of your face.
It doesn't say. I'm just.
No, I know.
I'm just, you know, coming up with the scenario.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I think the best answer is Disney being upfront and honest. I think it's easy to say Disney is being upfront and honest, saying this is to help thwart fraudulent ticket use. I don't think it's for any nefarious reasons, for sure, because there are so many other ways they're going to get information on you for advertising or marketing or anything.
Sure.
This is a nothing compared to all the other things that they have.
You've already given them everything else. Even when you buy, let's say you're a one-dayer or a three-dayer, to get that ticket, unless you gave them cash, and I don't even know if their window accepts cash anymore. You got to do it online.
I'm sure they do.
Most of it's all done online. Yeah we do have a ticket booth.
But it's cashless. The last question.
That's what I'm saying. You've given them everything. Okay, what's the last question?
No, the last is whether a family theme park should be the facial recon business at all. And I don't think they're in the facial recognition business. I think you got to frame it that they're using facial recognition to help their business, but their business is not facial recognition. It is a tool they've decided to use to help them with whatever problem.
They're not in the business. They're using current technology.
If you're afraid or if you think they deserve a conversation, well, it boils right down to, you don't have to go there. Right. You go there by choice, and if the sign or the terms and conditions of you gaining entry means you have to give a picture and it's buried in fine print, oh well. So it's just about everything else you do.
Yeah, think of all the other hoops you've had to jump through, being parking, buying the ticket, making the reservation.
Oh, what a
pain. How many other things do you have to go through to get? Yeah, I do too. How many things do you have to do? This is minuscule compared to all this other problems that you're dealing with.
And I really don't think they want to keep it. You know, keeping your contact information and knowing your annual income so they can target you for marketing is one thing. But hanging on to your biometric data for longer than necessary, they got better use of that space.
Yeah.
You know, people used to say disks are cheap. Yes, disks are cheap, but backing disks up is not. No, it's not cheap. And not a single company out there, especially a Fortune 100 like the Walt Disney Company, is not backing their shit up. I guarantee you they are.
That's why they're using AWS, is that their business is to back it up.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying.
But they have on prem shit they have to back up with, you know, something with like Carbon Black or not.
So I use a pretty well known system out there that I pay. Every time I see them at NAB, I said, your price is ridiculous, but I'm going to take advantage of it. I've got 1, 2, 3. And I know I'm small potatoes compared to somebody like Disney. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So 8 12 terabyte drives.
96
terabytes.
Okay. Right? 8 times 12 is 96.
Yeah. $9.99 a month.
$10 a month to back up 96 terabytes?
Unlimited. I just keep adding drives and they keep backing it up. They don't care.
I'm sure they're compressing the shit out of it, and I'm sure you can find.
When I need to get my data, you have options. Download it yourself, which is slow. Have them send you a hard drive, which you have to pay for, but when you send it back, you get your money back. Unless you want to keep it, then you keep it. So they have a few different options. The Esquire turned me on to them, and I've been using them. After I had a terrible experience with the one that Leo Laporte suggested, which was a big backup.
They still are a big company. Who is it? At the time, he still advertises it.
Who is it? The Laporte? Is it Carbon Black?
No.
No.
You said they're a big company. And you don't know who they are.
It's someone. It comes from a name from Empire Strikes Back. That
okay. What is
Han Solo?
Carbonite. Carbonite.
Oh, I was waiting for Richard to say it. He said he knew what it was, but he couldn't get it out of his. Yes, Carbonite. I'd forgotten the name. I lost a whole bunch of data because you talk about reading that fine print way down like this. It says it didn't automatically back up video. Black Backblaze, everything on the drive. Only thing I don't back up is the startup drive, because who gives a shit? You're going to reinstall the OS anyways. Nothing goes on my startup drive. Not a thing. There might be some random stuff on the desktop, but that's covered up. That's covered with iCloud.
That same methodology I shared the list with, they bug me monthly. You want to set up your computer for backing up? No, I do not.
Oh, yeah. I forget which one I get bugged by. Anyways, I looked up how to opt out of the facial recognition at park entrances. I'm thinking we should have looked this up at the beginning.
Okay. What the fuck? Why right. Why would we do that?
Yeah, okay. Here it says to opt out.
Because that's called research.
None of the show's over in 5 minutes. Yeah, good, what fun is that?
I'll try it for a third time. To opt out of Disney's facial recognition at park entrances, simply bypass the automated scanner lanes and use the traditional entrance lanes where cast members verify tickets manually. Now, the last time I went was only a few months ago, and I know the bio thing had already been laid out. Every place had a cast member. And I was asking the question, I think I may have asked it to both of you, if they're doing this scan, are they eventually going to eliminate the cast members? Because there were cast members still verifying
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So now, according to this,
their job taken by AI.
There is no cast member at these scanning places. So does anybody have a recent experience at the front gate? I don't.
I do not.
I'll have to ask the old lady, because she goes a lot.
But maybe I will Sometimes.
All right. So here are the step-by-step instructions. Head to the main gate. Well, duh.
Okay.
Make your way to the main park entrances, such as those along the Esplanade at Disneyland Resort. What other fucking entrance is there? It's like Knott's Berry Farm used to have three different entrances. Disneyland has one. DCA has two.
Has three.
Where's the third one?
Third one's over there off of, that comes from the Pixar Place Hotel.
Over by the Corndog Castle.
No, they reopened it. It was closed for a couple of years and they reopened it.
Okay.
So I wonder if this step-by-step realizes that. Okay. But
well, Disneyland, they said the main entrances.
Disneyland still has one, though.
Yes.
Choose the right lane. Look for overhead signage indicating standard entry and avoid automated facial scan specific cues. Notify a cast member. Let the cast member at the turnstile know that you would prefer to have your ticket manually validated. 4, prepare your ID. Be prepared to show a permanent issued photo ID upon request when opting out. So you've opted out of biometric, but you're still going to have to pull out an ID, not to vote, but to get into a Disney park, to make sure that you and your ticket match.
Because getting into a Disney park is far more important than voting for who the next president of the United States is.
Come on now. Come on.
All right. Important details to know. No biometric processing. While a photo may still be taken for identification in the traditional lanes, no biometric mapping or facial recognition technology will be applied to your image. Minors, if you are a parent or guardian, note that Disney requires your specific consent for any guests under 18 to use facial recognition services. Now, let's say, like I've seen some people, and I swear to God, this it just like fuck things up every time. Mom or dad, happy-go-lucky, they go through the turnstile, and the other parent has all the kids, and something goes wrong. And the other one's milling about, and they're trying to get their attention. Now you've separated. Now, instead of putting your kids forward, let them go first. So I take it then, if you go to a bio line, if it's a minor, is it going to not scan? Or is there still a cast member sitting there? Thank you, Richard. And if his job hasn't been eliminated, those lines, that'd be interesting. Now, I have no kids to take, so I can't. Your kids still look pretty young, Mike. I mean, your daughter looks pretty young. Maybe you can have her, you know, crouch down a little bit.
Doesn't work when she's using her work ID to get in.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's true. Well, but that's coming to an end.
Actually, my neighbors, they take their grandkids into the park now. I should ask them.
There you go. Policy review for full details. Yeah.
Already too much work, right? As you're reading that, I'm thinking, that's too much.
Is it? If they're given a bunch of extra things. There's a non-scan line. Pull out your ID.
Yeah, I guess so. It's
the kids throw in an extra little wrinkle into it that I hadn't considered. With that said, I don't know if I care. I've been a victim of, you know, data breaches.
Yep.
On more than one occasion.
I've gotten a notice, especially California, because California has a law that if any data leaks, everybody who ever's touched it has to be notified.
Yeah. In fact, I'm still on some free services by AAA.
That's right.
Because
you get free fraud alerts for 5 years or whatever.
From like Experian or whoever they're using. Yeah. Which sometimes gets annoying. I haven't actually had any much lately, and since I installed Cloaked, my spam calls have gone down to nearly zero when they were like,
yeah, I want to talk 20, about that
20
offline.
A day.
Yeah, offline. Sure. I'll talk about that offline.
And now see the picture behind me?
Yes, Tomorrowland.
Yes.
I saw some posts since we beat the biometric horse to death. there was some comments, and I, you know, I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole like Mike says, let it go. Sometimes these things aren't worth going. But there were some references to towers at the entrance of Tomorrowland going away. And but they also showed the picture of that, whatever that artwork thing, the, you know, that kind of like the Four Winds type tower they have at the entrance of their Tomorrowland.
Yes.
Are you, yeah. You know. So I'm not sure now what's going away. If these things are going away, or that weird, you know, retro future.
Dude, they thing. It's I don't know why you get wrapped up in it, because every time you see some freaking clickbait headline, Fantasy Frontierland forever going to be changed. Oh, they're well, taking off the fry cart. Who gives a shit?
I know. Can you believe that one?
Who gives a shit? Or
well, some of them I like to give a response to, like, don't waste your time here. It's just clickbait.
The way they freaking wigged out about Edelweiss snacks getting shade. I'm like, come on.
I know.
There was something else recent too. I was going, I had to read them. Like, what are you talking about? And it was something Walt personally built that got torn out. And it was,
oh yeah, I saw that.
It was a fucking bench or something stupid. So yeah. Like, what the,
yeah. And now they got these new trash cans in Florida, that people are, but see the ones that get invited to all the Disney whatevers, you know, they've got to kiss Disney ass no matter what they do. And so they're going to be out there talking about this stuff in the positive light, like nobody's business. It's the clickbait ones. Like we talked about Disney Dining and Disney Fanatic. They had a couple of, and I'm like, stick to dining. It was a different person, but I'm like, stick to dining.
I'm convinced.
It must be a slow dining day.
I'm convinced all those blogs are written by AI by like one person. I can't,
I'm convinced, like, by the format of at least three of them that they're all the same entity.
Yeah.
Just with different names.
Yeah. But you can't, like, for example, the last one we complained about, the
Disney Fanatic?
From Fanatic Disney about Dining. Soren, you know, about the Soren being.
Oh, political. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I try to look for that girl to find all the other stuff they've written. And I can find the stuff they've written, find nothing about them. They have no Instagram. They have no social media. And I'm like, this is a bot. This can't be a real person that's writing articles, and you can't find a way to contact them.
Karen's like, oh, these people just like Disney. I'm like, when you read their bio, nothing about, and they're running sites that they consider like journalistic. And in my mind, I do believe they think they're being journalistic if they're real. But you read their bio, and there's nothing that tells you any of these people have any training beyond them having a need. Like, we've long talked here. We have no, we're just spewing experience in the park or whatever our bullshit opinions. They don't address themselves that way. They address themselves as in the know, journalist, and they're anything. But the one that, you know, Matt considers my nemesis, she called herself an historian. So I looked it up, because there are names like architect. That is something closely guarded by not only the AIA, but also licensing, engineers. Though it's bugged me, because now there are chip architects. There's stuff that didn't exist when I got into architecture.
Data architect.
That they call themselves architects, but they're not architects. Engineers, you got to be light. You just can't. This is what bothers me a little bit about Bob Gurr. Licensing-wise, he's not an engineer. We met the paleontologist guy, and I asked, can you call him a paleontologist? He doesn't have a PhD. And the one with the PhD says, absolutely, he does everything I do. And I know architects that tell me that. You're an architect just like I am. Well, not according to the state, I'm not.
Yeah.
But and you have to watch how you market yourself. But they're right. I do everything they do, except scribble a signature that you can't read on the plans.
All right.
So
you got to wrap up before I hit the button.
Penmanship?
You know how quickly that goes away when you're signing 100 plans. But now you can do it digitally with one signature and just copy paste and put it in a digital file. So I don't know. I this biometric I would ask Greg to follow up with us and tell us. I mean, you asked a question, but I feel like we didn't have enough information of what is bothering you. Or are you like we do a lot, just trying to be, you know, stir up a little
shit, see what happens,
fun and controversy, and let us run with
to
it
to the top,
which is fine with me because
I have no problem with that either.
It has been fun talking about, but I'm kind of curious if he himself feels
more passionately about it. If he feels more passionately, about it.
Or if feels violated by it, or triggered by it, or whatever the buzz
violated
of the
by
day
a photograph.
Is.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it.
Yeah. So yeah.
Skynet is out there.
If there's more information, Greg, Cole, send it to us. We'll give it a relook. Just for that. So we're at that time of the night where, on behalf of Greg and Richard here, I thank you for listening, and I wish you a good night.